It's Tuesday night and time to talk Chadron State football with the head coach. It's the Jay Long Show, presented by Chadron Glass and Windows.
Our motto is tough, smart, physical. We want to be a tough football team. We want to be a smart football team. We want to out physical the other team. Then mixing up the fronts, the three-man front, the four-man front, and then blitzing out of both fronts. You know, those eight sacks were awesome. There's an old adage that says, hey, whenever there's a quarterback battle, you really don't have a guy. I do not feel that way. Any one of these three can be leaders of our team and be the every rep guy.
Here's your host, the voice of the Eagles, Dave Collins.
CSC head football coach Jay Long joins us in the studio on Tuesday nights for the Jay Long Show, presented by Chadron Glass and Windows. And another fun show here this week, Jay, after a complete and satisfying win at Adams State, 53-14 in Alamosa. Eagles now have back-to-back wins. Let's get some thoughts on the current vibe of the team and the overall finish of that game the other day. Big win.
Dave, we just got done with our practice, and we were on fall break, so we were able to kind of move around the routine with things. But, the vibe is, they feel really good. When you win, that makes things feel a little bit better with things. But, when we talked at the end of practice, we talked a lot about, the reason why we're in this situation. And, really, I think I've said this a few times on the radio, but since the Black Hills game, we've been playing really good football. And the reason being is that the guys that, have made the commitment and to hold to our standard have been the ones that, have been coming through at the end here. And as we go into these last four games, really, Dave, we have 80 hours of football left is what we have as a football team. We have four games. We have 4 weeks. And, as we go into this, every team that we play is in the same situation. They're trying to figure out how they're going to finish off this season. And we're in a great opportunity here, and we got some momentum rolling. I think that as we go down this stretch, it really comes down to how are we handling our business in the classroom, how we handle our business taking care of our bodies, how are we handling our business in our meetings, how we handle our business in the practices, and just really proud of how the guys have been going so far. And that is why, we've had the success, and it's what we're going to need to do as we go down this last stretch.
Coach, you say 80 hours of football left in the season. I think a tear just rolled down my cheek. That puts it into perspective. Yes. There's not a whole lot of time left. What an important stretch, and you're really riding a high with two straight wins.
Yeah, how we get that, Dave, is the NCAA only lets us be with the guys 20 hours a week.
Yeah.
So it's like a part-time job. So they have 20 hours for 4 weeks, 80 hours left.
Well, at least we get to add game time into that on top of it, and hopefully another handful of wins. Coach Long with us on a Tuesday night discussion of CSC football. Let's get into the game Saturday, and we'll start with the offense in the review of the win. 526 yards. You rushed for almost 300 on the ground, 293. How'd your running game just steamroll so strong?
Dave, when we talked on last Tuesday, we talked about, Adams State trying to confuse us with multiple different fronts. And, last week when we went with our game plan, we really simplified things, and we went to our base type of schemes where it just comes down to base rules. And as a play caller, it makes Coach Smith, when there's multiple different fronts, it isn't as easy, because you're like, well, hey, I want to like game plan certain areas. But with the base wise, our guys just went out and executed it. So it did then change the play calling really well when guys were having success up front. But I guess the biggest reason was that we ran our base schemes against our base rules against all of their multiple fronts. Our guys went out and executed up front, our O-line, our tight ends did, and then our running backs, they're really starting to figure out where those holes are going to hit, and they did a really good job of hitting the holes, and which then turned out to be about a 300-yard day rushing, which in my time that I've been here, you only have about one or two of those a year, so that's really exciting to have that.
It was a great day. A lot of the backs got action on Saturday and did positive things, and they finished off drives, your offense did, Coach. The Eagles scoring on 6 of 7 trips into the red zone. That's a nice improvement from the season red zone scoring percentage, which has been a little tricky at times this year, but you guys almost perfect on 7 trips. How'd you guys find all that success when you're inside the 20s with those short fields?
I just think if it was just the execution side of things, and we were able to run the ball. When you can run the ball, good things happen, and it really just opens up your playbook because you get into that weird situation where the defense has to decide, do they want to put one extra in the box, which then allows the passing game to open up, or do they want to stop the passing, you know, keep the guy outside the box, and then that opens up the run game. And once the running game got to clicking like it was, you know, then it made it really hard for them on defense, and it made it easier for us on, you know, with the play calling. So I guess the easiest answer was guys just executed, and we found a way to score with running the ball.
Yeah, and it was such great balance you had on Saturday, keeping Adams State off balance with what they want to do on defense. And as we look at your defense, the Eagles, you turned in 6 sacks. Coach, talking with some of the guys on the trip, kind of sounds like they thought it was a pretty big and tough offensive line that we faced as well. And you guys dominated them. You held Adams State to 6 yards rushing.
You know, they played Pueblo the week before us, and Pueblo, they rushed for about 120 yards on Pueblo. When you look at the stats, you pull it up, you're not going to see that because they had 2 bad snaps on punt and lost 75 yards.
Wow.
But, you know, they rushed for the ball really well on them, and they also protected pretty well against Pueblo too, with things. So I was really proud of how our guys went out and executed with it. And when you look at Adams' O-line, they're young, but they're big and they can move. And we gave them some fits up front with our front 7. And, you know, just like we talked about a little bit ago with offensive line-wise, you know, our front 7 got after them up front and you know, allowed us to make them one-dimensional. And then once you make them one-dimensional by stopping the run, then they are throwing. And then that's when our guys like Hunter and Tanner and our linebackers can, you know, pin their ears back and you know, pass rush.
Yeah, early in the game, Joey Guile was just running wild in that backfield, and all day long he had guys in the backfield. Hunter O'Connor, by the way, fans, the RMAC Defensive Player of the Week. He was just outstanding. Once again, an All-American, and he showed us once again why he's an All-American.
Yeah, he had 2 sacks, strip fumble on one of his sacks, and then he also got an interception, which was pretty cool. They ran a screen play, and he dropped back and picked it off, and I think he got 5 yards on or something like that. But yeah, he had a real big day, and he was in that backfield constantly with them, so it was real fun. And you know, when you look at it, I think Joey had a sack, Gabe had a sack, Tanner was creating havoc back there, and I don't think Kobe got a sack, Whipple, but man, he was really big on stopping that run and then getting in that backfield also.
Coach, another thought on Hunter. This season he's been so disruptive, but sometimes players can be so impactful and disruptive, but it doesn't show up as a sack number or an interception number. And before the season, you know, we talked to Hunter. He had goals of wanting to hit 25 sacks and hit the big stats. Stat-wise, it had been a little slower probably than he wanted and fans may have expected, but we're starting to see some of those stats pile up. When you talk to Hunter and you guys coach him up, do you have to sort of reassure him that, hey, just because the stat's not there, you're doing everything that we want you to do? Or how's his mindset going into games, knowing that it's not just all about a sack total? He's still super impactful.
You know, that's a great, you know, question, Dave. And I really just think that Hunter's a team guy. When you're a team guy, you want to do what's best for the team. And sometimes, you know, doing the best for your team is doing like what he had on Saturday. And other times is, you know, maybe, you know, picking up a double team, which then frees up the linebacker to go out and make the play. And I think Hunter understands that. And, you know, Coach Sassy does as many different ways as he can to get multiple different guys, you know, into positions where they can, you know, have success. But ultimately, it always comes down to, you know, the team first. And I think Hunter understands that his personal success is awesome, but he wants the team to do it, to win first.
And with the bullseye on his back now, after a year like last year, it's almost impossible to try and replicate and go so far above what he did last year, because everybody's gunning for him. There's going to be double teams. There's going to be attention paid to him to have to work even harder just to accomplish the same thing a year later. But it's so awesome. Hunter's having a great year, doing amazing things on the defense once again. Another guy, too, having a great defensive year and who has just burst onto the scene is Tucker Peterson. He blocked a punt. Peyton Millis, another young Eagle, ran it in for a 13-0 lead in the first quarter with the block punt touchdown. And as you guys have digested the game, watched the film, and probably enjoyed watching that play a bunch, do you still think that that's the moment the game turned heavily in our favor, as we talked on the postgame show?
You know, when you say those two names, both those two are freshmen also. You know, Tucker was a true freshman, and Peyton redshirted last year and is a redshirt freshman this year. But yes, without a doubt, those two, that was one of the changing points of the game. And when you look at football, football, momentum is so huge. And we got that momentum after that, and really it didn't stop. And Tucker Peterson, like I said, blocked that punt. He also had a big play on defense. Peyton Millis had that, picked it up, scooped and scored. He also had a big interception return. It was one of them things where, the momentum started rolling. And I would say, yes, it was started by that play by Tucker.
Tucker almost had an interception, too, one that went in it through his hands. Midfield, he jumped up, nearly secured that one in there. The Hammer Award, Coach, the weekly special teams honor. It's a pretty good guess. Those two were in on it and may have shared it or were certainly nominees. Yeah.
Tucker won it. Blocking a punt is very hard in college football, well, in any level of football. And he came right off there and did what he was supposed to do and blocked it. So the team voting for him to carry out the Hammer this week. We also got some good news. He got removed, I think it was in the third quarter, Dave, for a targeting. And on the field, when they replayed it, they said the film wasn't good enough, clear enough for him to be able to overturn it. Yes. And we had a different camera view that we sent to the NCAA, and the NCAA came back and said it was not targeting. So he gets to start the game this week against Pueblo.
That is great news to get Tucker back. I remember calling that play, and it looked like a really hard, great hit, but I didn't think it was a head-to-head hit, and was surprised that they threw him out. But again, I don't get to see the close angle or the video. Glad you guys had an angle. So he will be available for this week. And while we're talking about replays and things, Coach, you've been throwing that red challenge flag a lot this year. You're taking advantage of something you've wanted for several seasons in the RMAC. A really close one that went against us was with the Hunter O'Connor strip sack in the third quarter, a challenge that you threw out there, but I think it was a great challenge that you had. Tell us a little bit about that, and then there's one other I was thinking about during the game. The Preston Pearson interception in the back of the end zone looked like maybe the defender had landed out of bounds. Did you have a thought to challenge that play too, or what'd you think?
So day beforehand, I always go and I look at what their replay film is going to look like. And the film was not great on the end zone. So I knew that one there. I was like, I don't think I'm not going to challenge that one. As far as the years went on, I've challenged three times. I will tell you the first two I threw the challenge probably knowing I was going to lose. But just kind of maybe hoping that maybe it was something that was going to go our way.
Oh, and you can't take it with you after the game, right?
No, exactly. So that's how I was like, let's go do it. And this one here, I thought I won this one, boy. I saw JJ jump on the ball. When JJ jumped on the ball went in between his legs. And then I seen a white jersey jump on top of JJ's legs. So I'm like, it's got to be us. When I watched the film back on Sunday, the film wasn't good enough. Oh. And so I don't know. JJ swore that he had it. Joey came up with the ball, so I thought for sure that we had it. But the film, from what I saw, you couldn't overturn what was called on the field. But I thought that one for sure. I thought I was going to get my percentage up on that. But, Dave, there's something else I want to just add with this is I'm on what's called the AFCA Coaches Connection Committee, and I get to be a part of a lot of different rule changes and discussions. And the redshirt rule was one that I was on that committee. Subcommittee to push, and what a great rule it's been so far. And you can look at like one example on our team is that our long snapper, why it's so good. Our long snapper Adam Lynch hurt his hand early in the season, about week three or four. Ryder True was able to come in. Ryder True has snapped for three games.
Yeah.
Now after he's done with those three games, then we put in Jace Kern, and now Jace Kern has snapped in for three. He's going into his third game, and by now Adam Lynch's hand is getting about healed up. So it's situations like that where you're not having to pull a red shirt because of an injury. So I'm pretty proud of that. And then also the challenge I was on that subcommittee. Also MIAA went and pushed it, but then our conference went and we wanted to co-sponsor it, and I was involved with that. So just really cool. I think those are two cool things that for Division II to have.
I remember us talking in the past years about wouldn't it be great or would you like to have those two things in particular? And, if you want something changed, the best way to go about it is being a part of making that change happen, right? And so you really do take that role in rule changes and committees seriously and get a lot out of it. And I know you enjoy it. I can just see it on your faces as much as we talk about it.
It was a really fun to be a part of that because as a coach, you sometimes feel like there's 172 or 174 Division II football programs out there. And And, you know, as a coach, sometimes you feel like your voice just, like, who do you talk to? How do you get something changed? And you're like, well, we talk to our AD, and then the AD is supposed to, you know, we're supposed to move it up to our conference and those type of things. Where with this, with there's 16 of us coaches, one from every Division II conference, and we're able to bring our issues to that committee. And then once that committee hits, then it goes all the way up to our AFCA football coaches, our president. And then he is in those committees with the presidents and the ADs and also the trainers and also the SAC, which is our athletes. And he speaks of it like a way a football coach, why a football coach wants it and why they, you know, would like how it's going to make it, the teams better and a better our product better and health and safety of our game. So, yeah, it was fun, Dave, and it's cool to see it in action right now.
Is that something you get to continue to do as long as you want, Jay, or does the RMAC have some kind of a rotation, yeah, or hopefully you can stay on there with the changes that you've made and how much you enjoy it?
Me and Jazz Baines are the old man of the conference right now, and Jazz is on the playoff committee, and I'm on the AFCA committee, and I think that this is my last year of being on the AFCA committee, and I can't remember, Dave, how long I've been on it. Once Reiners left at Black Hills, then that's when I took over, so it's been at least since 19, I would assume, since I've been on it, so must be 4 or 5 years is what I have.
Okay. Well, too bad he can't continue on that into the future, but maybe another opportunity with a different committee to make some change and have an impact. Coach Jay Long on Tuesdays joins us in the studio presented by Shadron Glass and Windows. How about injuries and health from Saturday's game, Coach? As we get ready for a big one this weekend with CSU Pueblo, where do you stand on the injuries and health side?
You know, we're banged up, but everybody's practicing, and everybody finished the game on Saturday. So as far as that goes, you know, I think we're sitting, you know, really sitting in a good spot. You know, we are at that point in the season where things start, you know, do hurting. And, you know, but that's where I started this talk off with taking care of our bodies and getting the rest and using this fall break to our advantage of getting ourselves healed up.
Roster changes, Coach. Every football team goes through guys who change, whether it's positions or to leave the team or join the team and get an opportunity. There's a couple of significant ones for you. An ad you had is Griffin Club, who got a ton of early time and has gotten a lot of great reviews that I've heard from you guys, yeah, and it's fun to see him play. You also lost a player that fans are going to know a lot about, too, former starting quarterback Heath B. Miller, not with the team any longer. Can you fill us in on maybe those two?
Yeah, you know, first off, I think, you know, we've brought in probably 7 or 8 freshmen, true freshmen, with that red shirt rule. And, you know, some of them might be just as simple as running them in on kickoff. Others, it may be, you know, getting significant time with things. And that red shirt rule has been a real benefit for us. And I think it's been good to keep those red shirt freshmen hungry also.
Yeah.
We also changed our practices because of it and let our red shirts, you know, go more live with each other than I ever have. And I think that's going to really help us in the spring also. As far as Heath goes, Sunday, Heath went into Coach Smith's office and basically said that, you know, his dad's got him a job, that his dad's friend has a job opportunity for him, but they need him there in a week. And it's a great opportunity for him. He is taking all of his classes online. He was a grad transfer to us, so this is his last semester of his master's program. So he's able to be online, continue school, but he needed to start that job and be a grown-up is what it was. And, you know, Heath, over the 2 years he's been here, you know, has been just a really tough player for us. And did things always go the way that he wanted or that we wanted? No, not necessarily, but he had some really, really good games also. And the one thing that I'll remember, you know, him is that, you know, against that game against Angelo State, the very first game we put him in there.
Yeah.
Our O-line, it was pretty, we had a bunch of new faces. We just graduated 3 senior O-linemen from the year before. Actually, it was 4 senior linemen from the year before. And, you know, Heath, I think we rushed for 190 yards and there was no sacks, and the O-line coach was super mad. And that normally doesn't happen when you have 190 yards rushing and 0 sacks, but it was truly because Heath was running for his life out there and just really made some big things happen against the number 2 defense in the country that year. So, you know, we wished him best luck and told him, man, if he ever needs anything down the road, you know, make sure he reaches out. But a great opportunity for him.
Yeah, definitely wish Heath very much the best in his future endeavors and thank him for what he's done with Shadron State football. It's good to get to know him. That'll put you at Preston Pearson as your starter. You got Mason Hamilton. Still, Zach Kapushin's got a little bit of action, yeah, this year, too. So there's plenty of depth there still at the quarterback spot.
Exactly. You know, Preston's been playing really well for us. You know, and we made the move, you know, after Carl School Mines game, during the Carl School Mines game. You know, we've been playing some of our best football, and I think there's been a lot of factors into it. But, you know, I'm proud of how the guys are playing and really excited about going down the stretch the next four games.
Coach Long with us on Tuesdays as we wrap things up this week. Coach, you got CSU Pueblo, the huge rivalry that all the fans look forward to, a big, big game every single year. It's at our house, Dunbeebe Stadium, on Saturday. I know you and the team, especially on this two-game roll you're on, are hungry and ready to go give the Thunderwolves a challenge.
You know, us and them have a lot in common right now with our season. You know, we've played Augie, Western, and Mines. All three of them are currently undefeated. Pueblo has played Grand Valley, Mines, and Western, and two out of the three are undefeated. The other one's ranked second in the country.
Just beat the number one team in the country.
So, you know, there's a lot of similarities there, and I can just tell you, Dave, we're really excited to get into this and this game. And when you look at them, they have a new head coach. So there is some differences than what we've seen in the past. You know, they're going to play an aggressive defense. On offense, they're going to try to run the football, and then they're going to be, they want to be special on special teams. And, you know, watching film today with the team and Coach Coombs, I've seen in about 12, 14 clips, I've seen a punt return for a touchdown and a kickoff return for a touchdown. So they've got some dynamics on special teams, and that's what their recipe of their game is. So it's going to be a fun week for us to get ready for that challenge. And I can't wait, Dave. I think this is a, you know, great opportunity for us. We're at home. It's family weekend, so there'll be a lot of fans there, and beautiful day. So, yeah, excited.
Does it feel different down on the sidelines when it's Pueblo week here and the fans are here? Or is it just is it just another home game, because it's not, but I'm curious if, like, hey, does it feel a little bit different, different vibe, different buzz in the tailgate area as you walk through and see it before the game?
Really good question, Dave. And as a coach, we're just kind of in our offices, and we're always circled around our football team and our football coaches, and then our wives at night.
Yeah.
And so us, we're like, you know, just working, trying to figure out a way, you know, to be able to find some advantages for us. But, you know, our team, they're out around the crowd, you know, they're around the fans, they're out more. And I guess the thing that I would just tell you there is that yes and yes, probably. I mean, yeah, are the guys excited about it? Yeah, they're excited about it. You know, we were also excited about Black Hills and, you know, playing them in our rivalry game. So at the end of this thing, Dave, we just got to focus on what we do well. And, you know, I told the team on Friday night last week, I said that, you know, I've been saying it a different way, but I listened to an interview by a guy that played the linebacker from Oklahoma, and he said that we practice and we compete against our standard, not against our opponent.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been saying it a different way, and I just thought, whoa, what a great way to say that. And, you know, that's really what our focus is constantly is right now is let's compete against our standard of how we do things, what our commitment level is, what our work ethic is. Then, you know, what happens against our opponent, it's about us. It's about what we do. And when you look at our season so far, you know, when we got beat, it was because of things that we did that caused us to get beat. When we won, it was because of things that we done to cause us to win. And so that's going to be that focus going forward. And, you know, Dave, sometimes when you have that standard and that commitment, you know, some guys aren't going to be on board, and that's okay too. What we want to do is we want to have the guys that want to be here, and the guys that are bleeding for us are the ones that, you know, are the ones that we're going to be winning with, and are going to have a great, you know, great year and great career. And they're also going to grow up and be great people too, Dave, with things. So don't know how to end this, but go Eagles, man.
I know we're going to see all that hunger and that passion for being a player for the Eagles and to beat Pueblo. We're going to see all that on Saturday. That's part of what I love about the vibe. This is always one of my favorite game weeks leading up and preparing for the Thunderwolves. And I'm sure the guys are feeling the same way, especially right now, riding high, ready to attack this week of practice, film study. Maybe you put a little extra in, you know, in Pueblo week. It always kind of has that flair to it.
You know, I mean, I really think it's going to come down to the confidence level of things. And when you look at it, Pueblo's confidence got hurt earlier in the year with those teams they played. Our confidence got hurt a little bit by, you know, playing those teams early. Both of us have had two big wins back-to-back. So it's really going to come down to who keeps believing and who can execute the best. And we had our good practice today. Now it goes into a good practice tomorrow.
Jay, thanks so much. Going to be a fun week leading into CSU Pueblo. And Jay and I will talk before the game, as we always do, Saturday on the pregame show, and then kick off with the Thunderwolves in town. That's a great Jay Long show this week. Coach, thanks for coming in once again. Have a great week of practice. We'll talk to you again on Saturday.
Thank you, Dave. Go Eagles.
The
Jay Long Show is presented by Shadron Glass and Windows. Whether you're looking to replace one broken window, upgrade your entire home or business with a beautiful new look, or replace a cracked vehicle windshield, you'll find your perfect glass solution at Shadron Glass and Windows. Save money this winter on energy costs and upgrade to more energy-efficient windows and doors. Stop in and see Judd at 139 Main Street or give Shadron Glass and Windows a call at 432-3268. That's 432-3268.
Tune in every Tuesday night during the season for the Jay Long Show, presented by Shadron Glass and Windows. Listen on demand by downloading archived shows on the CSC Sports page at panhandlepost.com.